The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, glad to be with us again. A football Monday, college football going into the postseason, going into the bowl season after a conference championship weekend where Oklahoma, I guess, impressed everybody enough to get that fourth spot away from Alabama, who held on and won their conference title, and Clemson, who really didn't have to do anything to win their conference title, and Notre Dame, who didn't have to play a conference championship at all because they're rich and they make a lot of money off TV, and why would they share it with anybody in some silly conference? But Oklahoma did what it had to do. It won the rematch against Texas, but it wasn't just as simple as that. They had to worry that Georgia might beat Alabama, which they almost did. They had to worry about Ohio State running over Northwestern in such an even more impressive fashion than when they beat Michigan. And then they were going to have to do their own part by not getting into a wild, crazy 59-57 point game in a big old shootout with the Longhorns. They had to kind of keep everything in check. Play enough defense. We don't have to shut them out or anything. Play enough defense and look good on offense, because that is what we do. Play to our identity and let's see where the chips fall. And it was enough to get them in. And I think college football is better for it. Look, if you're on that committee, it would have been really bold to go with Georgia. It really would have been. And Georgia was there. They went 5. Ohio State went 6. So that means that the conversation and the debate was really centered around Oklahoma and Georgia. Imagine the outcry if a 2-loss Georgia team had gotten in, giving the SEC 2 over a conference champion like Oklahoma. I mean, even Ohio State would have the right to gripe about that. But imagine how many people who hate the fact that the SEC, when this thing was created, I remember the jokes around the SEC was, this is going to be the SEC tournament, right? That if you're going to really put, because remember when the committee came out and said, we're going to put the 4 best teams in regardless, we're going to put the 4 best teams in no matter what. And man, everyone in the SEC said, this is going to be a conference fest. They're going to have 2 teams. Oh, we might even get 3 teams in 1 year. Well, they've had 2. They've never had 3. I don't think we've even had close to 3. But that was the mindset. And if you could only imagine how people would have thought, man, this thing is SEC rigged. Even with the impressive performance Georgia had in the loss, giving Alabama a game that nobody else did all season, the outcry would have been enormous. SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. Rolling along, 800-777-2907 is the number if you want to join us on the program this morning. Ron, it looks like the NFL's in another disaster. Kareem Hunt, this news came out on Friday. TMZ doing yeoman's work, that TMZ.
Doing TMZ stuff.
And doing it TMZ style. Got the video of Kareem Hunt hitting and pushing and kicking a woman in a hotel in Cleveland. They got the video. The video is out. The Kansas City Chiefs saw it, watched it, let him go. The NFL did its own. Now, people have been telling me, like, why couldn't the NFL get TMZ pays for this stuff. They pay for this stuff. I don't even think if you're the league, that's how you would do an investigation. I mean, the NFL, what TMZ does is they find somebody and they go, hey, any chance we get that video? Like, it's not company policy to release video. Oh, yeah, but how about? And then they get the video. No one ever questions how TMZ gets this stuff because they know how to get this stuff. Somebody wants some money and they get it. It's a law that says they can't. They just get it.
Yeah, but what's surprising to me is how long this investigation, I mean, it's been going on. I mean, we never
forever,
heard about
right?
it.
February, right?
Since February.
I know, it's forever.
You know, obviously it was kept under wraps. We've never heard about it. But, I was watching Football Night in America before, that awesome game last night.
Yeah.
But, and, Tony Dungy brought up a couple of interesting points that, really made me think that, it's like, one was he was surprised with the NFL and the Chiefs, for that matter, never requesting to see the videotape when they were doing their investigation. And on top of that, the NFL never talked to Kareem Hunt. Like,
that's,
personally,
that was
sat
surprising
down
to
one-on-one
me, right?
And never talked to him.
Why can't the NFL watch? Why wouldn't a hotel let the NFL see of that video?
Yeah,
the hotel has to know what's on the video, right? They know that. Why wouldn't they let the NFL see it? They may not want to make a copy of it and give it to them. That might be some sort of policy that the hotel has based on privacy. But I mean, because we're not talking about listen, we're not just talking about violence in an elevator. We're talking about a lot of other things with a lot of people, with a lot of different kind of clientele. You don't want to open up a can of worms where the official policy of the hotel is whatever we catch you doing on video, we'll just give to the public. You want a level of secrecy in a lot of other circumstances that are not breaking the law. But in this case, why wouldn't the hotel say, wait a minute, this is physical assault. This is something we probably should be at least alerting the authorities or at least alerting whoever, somebody about it. This isn't like, a guy kissing a girl in an elevator that's not his wife, okay? Like a celebrity right. that's doing that. Like, it's not that. It's not some sexual act in a hotel between a celebrity and a fan or something like that. It's not one of those type of salacious celebrity things. That's not illegal. We're talking about a law that was broken. Why couldn't the NFL see it or at least somebody of authority see it?
Yeah, and I don't care. I've been reading Twitter and you hear those people saying it's like, that's it? He's getting suspended for that? That was nothing. Hey, you know what? It doesn't even matter. I mean, was the kick that hard? Like, did he just go full ninja on her? No, he didn't. But the fact is that he was driven to that point. That, to still kick her while she was already down on the ground.
Now he's admitting he's got an anger issue and he needs help for his anger. So who knows what else he's done when the cameras weren't rolling.
Exactly.
And I don't want to accuse a guy of doing anything, but this is the kind of stuff you have to look into now. If he's done it, if he did it when the cameras were rolling, has he done anything else when the cameras weren't rolling, where most of his life is spent? Right? I mean, that's the question you have to ask. And this league, here's the thing, right? Make no bones about this. Kareem Hunt is a talented player. Is a very talented player.
Young.
He is going to play in this league again. This is not Ray Rice. Ray Rice was not productive at the time of his situation. Ray Rice was, I think we all kind of remember, it was like 3 yards a carry or something like that, maybe less than 3 yards a carry at the time, and he was 30. Kareem Hunt is young and extremely talented with great speed. When the NFL dissects all this and lays a suspension down, somebody is going to pick him up and somebody is going to give him a job.
Do you think somebody will wait till then?
I don't think they will, to be honest with you.
He clears waivers today.
Yeah, I think we will be talking about somebody making a claim on him within the next couple with the day or two. I think that's the way this works. It's unfortunate because we all would like to believe in a system where a guy really feels the effects of something like this. He really has his life changed, where he has something very valuable of his taken away, and he's going to get suspended. But people get suspended all the time for stuff, right? Where we want to feel that he's getting punished for this, that there's pain that's attached to this. But this league, it's amazing how, in the end, because you are a select individual on this planet that can do this particular job particularly well, how much people will bend over backwards to give you a second chance. They may hate what you did, they may publicly say that, and they may have to put up with the fervor of their fans while they give you a chance, but he will get a chance. He will get a chance. That would drive you crazy, but without question, he's going to get a chance.
Listen, I mean, Reuben Foster is given a second chance.
Oh, God.
A
Reuben
third
Foster,
chance, a fourth
how
chance.
Quick was that for the Redskins,
I
right?
Mean, he was
a day?
He was literally on waivers, I think, 20 minutes. I think
exactly.
I clocked it.
It wasn't even enough time to really process what the heck happened with him, what was going on with him.
And I mean, you have a talent like Kareem Hunt out there, just sitting out there now. He will get picked up. He won't play this season. He'll probably, I heard rumors that it'll be a 6-game suspension that'll probably likely start the beginning of next year. But he's going to get picked up.
He's going to
play another down, and then I guarantee like 3 months will go by, 4 months will go by, and we'll forget that this happened, which is unfortunate.
It's one of those things I always have to remind people of when people want so badly to say, that's it. He's killed his career. He hasn't killed his career. It's sad. I get it. It's frustrating. I get it. It can drive you crazy when you see something like that or hear something like that. You don't even have to watch the video. You don't even have to see the video just to know about it and hear about it. Whether we're talking about Michael Vick and the dog fighting, whether they're talking about the Ray Rice and now Kareem Hunt or Reuben Foster or anybody, anything like that. The only time a player, his career is over, is if he goes to jail and he can't physically show up to a place, or he's on the back end of a career anyway.
Or he's kneeling.
That's right. He's kneeling. That's right. Because if he's kneeling, that's it. You're never going to see the field again in this league.
Well, I guess if you're just one person who's kneeling.
No, if you are kneeling, you can play, yeah.
There's been other people who have knelt, and they're still finding ways to get tryouts.
Yeah, if he's the guy who started it all.
But yeah, no, I mean, the only person, you know, you're correct. If they kill their career, it's because they went to jail. Or, you know, if it's a Ray Rice situation where it's like, you are old, you're not that productive anymore, we don't need you.
Yeah, I remember when Michael Vick went to jail, and I remember saying, listen, when he gets out, we'll see. I don't know if he'll play in the league again, but when he gets out of jail, let's find out what shape he's in. But when he does, you'll hear about that, right? What did he do while he was in prison? How did he work out? And sure enough, he ended up on, what was it, the Eagles?
I think
it was the first team that jumped on. He kind of bounced around a little bit after that, but the Eagles. And he played well. Like, he was starting for them. He was playing well. Unless the legal system pulls you away from playing, like just says, you can't play because you're with us now, these guys, if you can produce, you'll get a chance. If you can produce, you'll get a chance. And here's the deal. That's a scale that is there. Now, listen, there are teams that would say, I don't care. You're not going to be part of our team. We have this sort of code. This is not what we want. This is not what we do. Okay. Not all 32 teams are going to be chomping at the bit. But this is the evaluation that's going to be done. The PR hit versus the value of the player on the production to help us win games. Right, that's the way of the hit. Now you can praise the Chiefs for this, and they got rid of a young, talented, very very talented guy, that has helped them win games. Now maybe his absence is somewhat of a factor in a game other than when they play Oakland, but we'll see. But they made a statement once they saw it, said, "Wait a minute, this is not what we want. He's lied to us. This is it. We're done." And if he goes to somebody else, he goes to somebody else. That's just the way it's going to be. Fine. But don't ever underestimate this league in terms of these guys getting second chances, because they will. When he said to Lisa Salters he thinks he should get a second chance, he's going to get a second chance. He's going to. Whether he changes his persona is a different story. And I hope he does. I hope he does. Because what you saw in that video was, as you mentioned, Ron, good point. The fact is, it does. There's no degree there that needs to be evaluated on how hard did he push your kid. He's got an anger issue, and who knows where he's what that anger issue has done in the past, and who else is not talking to anybody.
Yeah, what happened behind the doors
exactly.
in the hotel room? I mean, you know, we don't know. It was just the fact that it's. To me, the most disturbing thing wasn't how hard he pushed her, wasn't how hard he kicked her, that it was just so matter of fact.
Right. About no it. Kidding. Exactly.
Like it wasn't, there wasn't any hesitation. There wasn't even, it didn't even seem like he was, I mean, obviously he was upset, but it you know, looking at his face, I mean, maybe he's a good poker player at this. He didn't seem
no, yeah,
angry.
No kidding.
Like he didn't seem like he was fired up, but it was just the fact of, you know what, I'm just going to, she's laying on the ground. She's, you know, she's stumbling a little bit. Maybe she was intoxicated. We don't know the whole story, but you know what seems like a good idea? I'm just going to kick her.
Yep. Exactly,
and that's right? And that's how it came across, was like, I'm just going to kick her. No big deal.
And it just doesn't seem like the NFL did a bang-up job on this investigation. And
again.
For the most part, I don't think the Chiefs didn't seem to do a very good bang-up job on this one either. So.
Well, no, but because they investigated him. I mean, Andy Reid, he lied. That's the reason why he got released by the Chiefs was because he lied to the coaches.
He lied. Exactly. He,
I mean,
they asked him, and he said,
I
didn't
do
it. Like, they took his word.
And, you know, I mean, you can look at it. It's like, okay, you guys probably should have investigated a little bit more. That's hindsight. You know, if you go to your employer or your employee and he tells you straight to your face, like, you know what, there was nothing that happened. It got, you know, yes, there was, you know, it got out of hand, but nothing really came of it. You're going to take his word? I mean, how many times if they investigated every single case that came up, there wouldn't be an NFL. It would just be a courtroom drama day after day.
800-777-2907. We can discuss more about that. We'll also get into the playoff picture in the NFL. We got the Redskins and Eagles tonight. That doesn't have much. I mean, the Redskins have got to catch up on the Dallas Cowboys, but we'll talk about some of the games on Sunday and how it shapes up for the postseason where we head into the final few weeks of the year. Next on SB Nation AM.
Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, I got a little nervous last night because I am a Steelers fan. The Steelers lost. They dropped to 7-4-1. I'm a little nervous because the Ravens are playing pretty good football right now. They climbing up at 7-5. So the playoff standings right now, the Steelers would lead the division, but the Houston Texans at 9-3 have won 9 in a row. And you look at their schedule, they're not likely to lose the rest of the way.
Nah.
Colts, Jets, Eagles, Jags.
They might lose like week 17 because everyone's rested.
Yeah, that's true.
That's pretty much the next loss.
If they win out, they go 13-3 with 13 straight victories. Oh, what a turnaround. Intercepted Baker Mayfield 3 times in their win against the Browns. They had 4 turnovers in the game. The New England Patriots are 9-3. Oh, yeah, remember when we were like, oh, my God, they're 1-2. This is not good. They are now heading to Miami. But the Patriot fans are so lucky that they can lay a gigantic goose egg, or not a goose egg. I shouldn't use that term because that would imply a shutout. Lay an egg against the Tennessee Titans a couple of weeks ago and then play a game where they go, nah, whatever. What are you going to do? Yeah, what was that? That was like yesterday? No, forget it. Don't worry about it. They don't have that. They don't have that. Well, they didn't look good here, and they didn't look good here. Now they can afford these games and then look sharp, and everyone goes, okay, good. Beat Minnesota at home, 24-10. Tom Brady is on the verge of all the marks now with everything. But he's played forever.
Did you see yesterday he got his 1,000th rushing yard?
Yeah, I really I didn't see that part. He's 1,000 rushing yards?
For his career, it's like the longest a quarterback has ever taken to get to 1,000 yards or something like that. It's taking him, in his entire career over, it was like 280 games to get to 1,000 rushing yards. But my favorite part, is he literally was sitting on 1,000. And they had the ball at the end of the game, and, you know, they're just going to kneel it to ice the game. He went forward instead of going backwards.
Oh, to get, that's
to
right.
Make so he sure, could get the, no, to yeah. keep him at 1,000.
So he wanted to stay at 1,000, so he didn't want to exactly. Lose the yards. Oh,
go,
that's right. Yeah,
don't
want to
be sitting on 999 for a week.
Yeah, well done. Well done.
I mean, obviously, he's going to get over 1,000. He'll have over 1,000 yards for his career at some point the rest of the season. But I just found it humorous that, because all quarterbacks do, they just, you know, kind of stand there. Maybe they hesitate a little bit, and then they take a knee. Then he went forward, like the entire line pushed forward so he can get back to the line of scrimmage to take the knee.
So the next week they're going to play the Dolphins down in Miami.
Yeah, cakewalk.
And it's called the hat and t-shirt game. Yeah, and it's not because they're down in South Florida where it's going to be warm. It's called the hat and t-shirt game because if they win that game, they'll have clinched the AFC East and thus would be getting hats and t-shirts commemorating that event. So whenever they have an opportunity to clinch the division, it's called Hat and T-Shirt Day. The Patriots, for all of their bluster and bravado, are celebrating AFC East championships.
Well, not only that, but what this does is shows me the dominance of the Patriots over the decades that they've actually called that. No other team, the Rams just clinched their division. They weren't calling it, hey, this is going to be Hat and T-Shirt Game.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
I mean, the Patriots have won so many AFC East titles that they're like, well, we have a name for this game.
And this has been my rant forever, which is, this is why I'm angry, not because I expect a team to be as good as the Patriots. Sometimes you get a coach-quarterback combination that defies a generation, and they have, they define a generation, right? Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. It's tough to beat. But the fact of the matter is that the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bills should be ashamed of themselves for the last 20 years of playing football.
Yes.
Outside of a few, every now and then the Jets would be good, or the Dolphins would, few and far between. Nobody in that, and the Bills, forget it. Bills have been irrelevant in that division before even Brady and Belichick got together. But outside of a few, Mark Sanchez plays pretty good for us, New York, and Miami playing pretty good with a Wildcat nobody ever knew about. This has been pretty much a dog division that the Patriots have ran over for 20 years. I mean, you talk about division rivals, like, you know, we talk about whether the Broncos are going to play the Chargers at the end of the season, but that's a divisional game and anything can happen. Or, you know, when the Falcons and the Buccaneers get together, you just never know. It's a divisional game. Or anybody in the NFC North or the AFC North, my God, those divisions are nuts. NFC East, throw the names in a hat and pull two teams out and they'll beat each other up. That doesn't happen in the AFC East. That doesn't happen in the AFCs. You don't say, Jets and Patriots. Well, you never know when these two teams get together, old division rivals. No, the Patriots win. That's what you say. And you say it every year. And you say it every time they play the Dolphins. And you say it every time they play the Bills. There is no throw the records out, man. These two teams really get it on when they get together. That doesn't happen in that division. And you know why? Because the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets are awful football teams for 20 years, and they bow down to Brady and Belichick because they've been feeling sorry that they can't beat these teams, and they sit around going, there's nothing we can do, man. What are you going to do? It's Brady Belichick. Draft better? What are you kidding? There's nothing. And they've just laid down like dogs for the Patriots for 20 years. You're 100% right. The fact that the Patriots call it hat and t-shirt day because they're so accustomed to winning this division because these teams stink is absolutely insane. And then we're talking about it on December 9th. And they're going to win a division because these teams are awful.
Since 2001, You want to guess, since 2001, how many times they didn't win the AFC East?
I'm going to say once, and that was the other Dolphins won it when Brady was hurt in week one.
The number would be twice.
Twice. Did the Jets win it once?
The Jets won it once in 2002.
Okay, there you go.
Brady's second year.
That's right. When they went, when the Patriots went 9-7. That's right.
And the MCS. Jets and the Jets went 9-7.
The Jets went 9-7. Yeah, and then Brady got hurt in week one against the Chiefs, I think.
Yeah,
Tore his ACL.
So that was the year the Dolphins.
They went 10-6 with Matt Castle, and then the Dolphins won that division. But that's it. That's it. It's insane. And again, listen. I'm not here to tell you that, you know, yeah, sometimes you get a quarterback, it's great. But even Elway had people in his division that challenged him. Even Marino had teams that challenged him. Crying out loud, it's insane. What's it going? 2 decades of this for the Patriots. And none of these teams actually put together a team to just challenge. Just make it tough on them. Hat and t-shirt day. Good for you, Patriots, that you came up with a slogan for something you should be appreciative instead of taking for granted, because now you've taken it for granted. SB Nation Radio.
Are you wearing your hat too much to cover that hairline?
Well, yes, I am.
Go to forhims.com/cheer for help. That's forhims.com/cheer. SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Are you ready to go bowling starting December 18th? December 15th, Ron Culver. You ready to...
Of course.
R&L Carriers Bowl in New Orleans between MTSU and Appalachian State? How about the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl, Georgia Southern and Eastern Michigan? That in Montgomery, Alabama.
I've been waiting all year for that one.
New Mexico Bowl in Las Vegas. Why would the New Mexico Bowl be in Las Vegas? Why wouldn't it just be in New Mexico? What happened there? People in New Mexico are like, nah, I don't want to see this. Fresno State and Arizona State? Yeah, that's got to be a typo. The New Mexico Bowl, shouldn't that be in Albuquerque or something? No, it is out. It is. Okay, I'm sorry. It is. Why was I looking at the? I was looking at something else.
I was about to say. It's an Albuquerque. It's calling it New Mexico, unless Vegas is saying, you know what, we're just going to call ourselves New Mexico now.
See if anyone notices.
Yeah.
The Auto Nation Cure Bowl is in Orlando. They have too many bowls in Orlando. That Camping World Stadium, I think, is going to have 2 bowls and maybe 3.
Got to pay for it.
You do. I know, right? Bowls. These bowl systems are great. Listen, I have mixed feelings about the bowl system, okay? Because this is my big, I go off convention, where people say, right? Because this is the time of year where people will go, it's too many bowl games. And I go, not really. If you don't like them, don't watch. Right? Nobody's forcing this down your throat. If the Frisco Bowl in Texas between San Diego State and Ohio doesn't cause you to lose your mind on December 19th. Don't watch it. It'll go away. It'll come and go. It'll be gone. That's good. Marshall in South Florida at the Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa, which is pretty cool. Don't watch it. But at the same time, it's like, God, there's a zillion of them. Never ends. And do people, like, in these areas, like, if you're Birmingham, Alabama, Birmingham Bowl, rightfully named at Legion Field, legendary Legion Field in Birmingham, Wake Forest and Memphis. Would a local go to that? Would a local go, yeah, I got nothing to do Saturday at noon.
That's a tough
one. Or 11 o'clock. I'll go see Memphis, Wake Forest. Or would you just go, all right, no. I have no interest in that.
No, I mean, I would. If I had my choice, I would do the Makers Wanted. Yeah. Bahamas Bowl.
Oh, the Bahamas Bowl is great.
And then, you know, begs
who's the going
to
that
too.
One, by the way? Who's going to the
FIU maker? And Toledo.
Oh, wonderful. If you're a Toledo Rocket going to the Bahamas for your bowl game, it's going to be awesome.
Right. But do their will their fans travel?
Oh, yeah. Will their fans travel?
I mean, I can see FIU fans traveling just because, you know, it's like an hour flight.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm not sure how long of a flight is, but that is relatively close by. But then again, I don't know if they would want to go. It's like, well, yeah, it's sunny and warm in Bahamas, but so is it's here too. So will they travel?
I looked
talking like 3 days before Christmas.
Yeah, exactly, too. That's another thing, too. Because you just found out yesterday that your team was going. So you're going to cancel Christmas plans so you can go to the Bahamas to see your team in a bowl game? I looked it up. Camping World Stadium in Orlando, it used to be the Citrus Bowl. It used to be called the Citrus Bowl. Is hosting 3 bowl games this season.
Good on them.
Yeah, good job. 3 bowl games.
And then by the same rationale, if you were to go to the Bahamas Bowl, who in their right mind wants to go to the New Era Pinstripe Bowl?
Yeah, that's at Yankee Stadium.
Held at Yankee Stadium at 5:15. It's Miami versus Wisconsin.
Oh, God. Can you imagine Miami having to travel up north in late December to play Wisconsin at Yankee Stadium?
No, they're not happy about
Miami
it.
Miami should just forfeit and be like, we ain't going up to play we're not going to play a cold weather school in a cold weather stadium. You out of your mind? Accepting this. Just use the time to practice, and then just before the game go, oh, we all got the flu. Goodbye. Go play Wisconsin at Yankee Stadium. Break. That's a good little venue, though. Yankee Stadium, I've been told by a few people that have gone. They tell me, and I haven't been, that it's not a great football venue. It's just doesn't work.
It's a baseball stadium.
Yeah, but you know, some baseball stadiums work, like old Joe Robbie used to work. And, you know, they say this just doesn't work. But, yeah, it's like Fenway Park had a football game once. They put up, I think Boston College played at Fenway Park.
Football stadium.
Right? There you go. No. NRG Stadium, where you are, has got Baylor and Vanderbilt in the Academy Sports and Outdoors Texas Bowl.
Yeah, that's a barn burner. Tickets, watch I heard, out. Are already sold out.
Yeah, right. Baylor and Vanderbilt. Oh, God. It's great. Coaches love these bowl games. They get another month of practice, put their game on.
So how many different names are there for the Camping World Stadium bowl games?
All right, I'll give you to you. The Camping World Stadium, there's the hold on 1 second. I got this one. The VRBO, is that
Vacation Rentals by Owner?
Well, it's, wow, well done. Well done. I did not know that, but wonderful. That bowl is going to be on January 1st. It's the VRBO Citrus Bowl between number 14 Kentucky against number 12 Penn State. That's well done, Ron Culver. I like that. That's very, very impressive.
Did you not know that? Come on.
I did not know that. The Camping World Bowl in Camping World Stadium, which sounds like it would be the Premier Bowl, but it isn't because the VRBO Bowl is a little bit better.
I can't believe VRBO has a bowl.
I know, right? They just jumped right on that.
It's just like, you know, basically, it's just a weird website where people just start up like, you know what? I'll put up my condo that I use once a year and, you know, rent it out. Instead of going through, basically what happened was instead of going through an agency where you pay an agency to kind of put it out there and you know, put it on vacation. They just started this website where you just go and you put your own place up for rent.
And it's so lucrative to afford multi-million dollars it takes to
yeah, it's so lucrative that you can have a bowl game featuring Kentucky versus Penn State.
Friday, December 28th, number 16, West Virginia, taking on number 20, Syracuse, at Camping World Stadium in Orlando. That's actually going to be a pretty good game. Syracuse is decent.
Yeah.
West Virginia is fun to watch, too. That's actually a really good game. Let's see here. And then Camping World Stadium again in Orlando has the Auto Nation's Cure Bowl on December 15th. It's like the third. No, I'm sorry. I think it's the first bowl game out of the gate. Yeah, it's the first bowl game out of the gate. It features Tulane and the Ragin' Cajuns of Louisiana, who used to be Louisiana Lafayette, but then they decided to change their identifier to just Louisiana as if they represent the whole state. I'm sure LSU appreciates that. So Louisiana Raging Cajuns and the Tulane Green Wave will be in Orlando. There you go.
What's a bad boy mower?
Bad boy mower. That, what bowl is that?
It's the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla.
Gasparilla Bowl. Now, Gasparilla is a, my wife knows this better because she's from that area. Gasparilla is a festival that they have in Tampa. I think it has something to do with pirates. Hit me on Twitter if you know about this. I should know this because my wife always used to talk about Gasparilla.
We're just needing help explaining how these bowls came about.
So I guess what happens is you get an area that's, and you say, I want a bowl. And you say, okay, where do you want to play? We're going to play at the school stadium. Okay. Do you have a sponsor for it? We're going to find one. Now, where are you? Oh, we're in the middle of, whatever country, corn country. Okay, great. We're going to call it the Husk Bowl. Great. Okay, we'll get a sponsor. The sponsor, and off you go. And I think you just tell schools that you now have a bowl. And if you want to come, you come, and this is what you get. You know what's really cool is like that eventually you're going to find out the swag these guys get when they show up to these bowls. Like, these players aren't supposed to get anything. But then you're like, hey, to attend the Orange Bowl, you get this nice gift basket, including a PlayStation 4 and a diamond bracelet. Little things like that. Yeah, these guys get like serious, gift bags for participating in these bowls. So the whole thing, this is one of the reasons why.
Then how disappointed are you if you got selected to the, Chick-fil-A Bowl?
Do you get a lot of Chick-fil-A?
Yes. Versus if you got selected to the PlayStation Bowl.
All right. When's the Chick-fil-A Bowl?
Chick-fil-A Bowl is December 29th, featuring, that's the Peach Bowl.
That is the Peach Bowl.
Florida versus Michigan.
Okay, that's going to be the Chick-fil-A Bowl is on a Saturday. Thank God it's not on a Sunday. Otherwise, the whole bowl will be closed. It'll just be shut down.
How awesome would that be? God, if
the Chick-fil-A Bowl fell on a Sunday, they're like,
Chick-fil-A,
oh, wait a minute.
Chick-fil-A Bowl fell on a Sunday, like, oh, no one showed up.
Oh, shoot. Can't play.
Chick-fil-A doesn't do anything.
Yeah, they don't do anything. Yeah, I guess you get a lot of Chick-fil-A. Peach, that's Florida and Michigan at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's a good one, too.
That's a terrible swag bag.
Yeah. Well, you get those little waffle fries that are pretty good.
Yeah, that's Maybe, true.
And a lot of good ketchup packets.
But you That'd know what? Give me the Hyundai Bowl, because it sounds like you might get a car.
You could. You could get a car. Now, is the Belk Bowl in Charlotte, is that Belk like in the Belk department store? Or is that some other website
I don't know about?
No idea. Here's one. When I saw this, I said I got to bring this up. At Chase Field in Arizona, that's where the Diamondbacks play in Phoenix, California and TCU are going to play in the Cheez-It Bowl.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
I guarantee there's just going to be bowls and bowls of Cheez-Its.
Just like go around and just eat them up. There you go.
They better be handing out free samples.
Yeah, different flavors, maybe some spicy cheese, it's going to be all sorts of fun.
Will they roll that big wheel of cheese that has attitude issues because it hasn't matured yet?
Yes, totally, completely. That'd be fantastic.
Cheez-It Bowl.
By the way, you've been watching
I have those all the time sitting around my house. We just always have a Cheez-It Bowl.
Yeah, Cheez-It Bowl, exactly. Cheez-It Bowl, and now it's going to be Cal and TCU playing in the Cheez-It Bowl. I can't wait for the T-shirt to see what the T-shirt is all about. And by the way, congratulations, though, to Louisiana Tech, the Bulldogs of Louisiana Tech. I'm sure they jumped all over this when they got invited. They'll be heading to the island of Hawaii to play Hawaii in Honolulu.
Yep, that's a raw deal right there.
If you're going to go to a bowl game, go to Hawaii, right? Bahamas or Hawaii, just head on out there.
I'm sure the committee said Louisiana Tech, and they went, sure.
If you need somebody to go, might as well be us, all right.
What a bummer.
We'll take one for the team. We'll take one for good old Conference USA. We'll go to Hawaii and play. Hey, does Hawaii ever leave for a bowl game if they're not playing in the Sugar Bowl, or do they just usually take that
bowl? I think
they
just stay home.
Oh, it's kind of too bad, too. Maybe they want to get off the island and go to a place like Boise.
Yeah, maybe they want to play in the Pinstripe Bowl. You ever think
about
that?
Maybe they want to play in Yankee Stadium. That would be great.
In the wintertime.
Exactly. I can't wait till they eventually somebody in Ireland has a bowl, or London, or like France. Or
yeah, why are we giving bowl games in London?
Yeah, why aren't we giving? Why wouldn't somebody in like Shanghai have a bowl game? Why
exactly.
not? Just bring it over. Bring it out there. All right. It is Tony D and Ron Culver. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
By the way, can we get Dr. Pepper, who I, you know, who does that cool little halftime show, can we get them to do another contest other than students shoving footballs into the hole, into the Dr. Pepper can? The whole objective is to throw it like a quarterback. But that doesn't work. So they're just shoving them in, like pushing, like a push pass you would do in basketball. And that seems to defeat the purpose. Right? Do something else. Maybe throw
You know, bringing your arm all the way back, that takes time.
No, yeah. I mean, people are like, wait a minute, hold on. I can just, and it's much easier to do that than throw. Like, I go to, like, you know, like sometimes I go to those arcade games or carnival games where you throw a football to try to knock something down. And it's not as easy as people think to try to, like, flick a football into a target. Sometimes it's just better to take the football and throw it like a baseball. If the object is to get it in a hole or to knock it down, knock down something. It's not always the best to kind of go at full, like, full quarterback mode. And these students have seen it. They're like, no. The best way to do it is just shove them in. Maybe they should revise that contest to make it a little bit more football-esque. I don't know. But it's still neat. I don't know. It's kind of neat to still see. Throwing the footballs in there. By the way, the SEC championship game was one of the, was the most watched SEC, like in most watched conference game in like 10 years or something. Of course it was. It was Alabama, Georgia, and Georgia's played them tough. I think people like to see Alabama get struggle and lose.
Yes.
So
you
like,
always want to see the king go down.
Right? Everybody likes that. So they think there was an opportunity to see that, and then people wanted to take advantage of it. And I think also the ratings probably increased as the game went on. We were like, oh, look at Georgia. They're up by double digits. Let's see if this actually takes place and goes down. And Jalen Hurts came on and did the rest, and Alabama won it. And everyone's like, oh, man. People are like, I want to see chaos. And they're like, no. Those days are over. You weren't going to see chaos if Alabama lost to Georgia. Alabama would have been in. Georgia would have been in. That's not chaos. It would have made the decision way easy for the committee. Notre Dame and Clemson were already going to be in. Alabama would have stayed in, and Georgia would have been in. There would have been no chaos. Those days are over.